Welcome to the Media Madhouse. I am your insane host. It's been a while. It's absolutely been a while, and I apologize to any fans out there that have kind of been missing this show. Let's get this out of the way real quick. Let everybody know. Mox is no longer a part of Media Madhouse. He has since moved on to bigger and better things, and we obviously wish him the absolute best in his future endeavors. But you guys are still stuck with me. Sorry about that. So, what are we going to be doing with this show? Well, we're going to keep doing the film news, movie news, maybe some TV news in there every once in a while when something's really good. And what we're going to do is I'm going to give you my personal take on it. But we're also going to do something a little bit different. Every once in a while, I'm going to be throwing up with this show a interview segment. I'm not sure if it's going to be a part of the show or if it's going to be like a separate show, but I'm basically going to start doing interviews with people from the film business. We're going to start with people in the Michigan area, the local area, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to branch out into newer areas and things like that. So first of all, let's get to the news. All right, first up, the Disney Comcast battle over Fox. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to this or truthfully even really care, but for me, this has been the most interesting thing to watch. I mean, this is better than daytime television, I'm telling you right now. So, essentially, what happened was, let's see, okay, so Disney basically originally offered Fox $52.4 billion in stock, which is a ginormous amount of money, to basically absorb Fox's assets. They'd be able to get the Marvel stuff back, as well as, you know, acquiring stuff like Predator and essentially anything that isn't the news world or the sports world, because that would conflict with ESPN and the government would say boo-hoo and no. So basically what they did was they offered $52.4 billion in Disney stock to the Fox shareholders. Well, now Comcast has come back and said they're going to do a bid. Whoa, boy, did they ever. Comcast has basically offered them a $65 billion with a B, dollar offer in cash. Now, here's the thing with this whole, you know, situation is just the fact that, okay, $65 billion in cash to the Fox shareholders. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody said, you know, you can either have, you know, stock or you can just have it in cash, I think 90% of the world would probably be like, give me the greens and let's call it good. Now, the hang up with this whole situation is the fact that essentially they've already gone to the government about this whole deal, which now they have to realistically, because Comcast has offered this deal and everything else, Fox has to take it to the shareholders for a vote on which one they do or whatever. They can't just uphold the deal they originally had with Disney. Otherwise, it would be collusion or something to that effect. And basically, the government would say, you know, you can't have it, you can't do it, and shut the whole thing down. And then they're right back to where they started. So essentially, they're going to be doing this, you know, vote. And especially with the failure of Solo. Now, granted, I know Disney does a lot of movies. They get a lot of money in. You know, they're one of the highest grossing studios ever. But right now, a normal stockholder would be shaky at best because of the fact that obviously they are dealing with a situation where, because Solo has tanked, you know, they're not really gaining a whole lot. You know, they have their worries, they have their fears, they have their concerns. So right now, Disney doesn't, their offer doesn't look as appealing because it's in stock and God only knows what could happen, yada, yada, yada. Well, now more stuff has come out and I have to do some more research to figure out exactly what's going on. But essentially what is boiling down to is Disney has to come back with another offer, or they're planning to. And there apparently is something going on about Disney and Fox splitting the assets of, you know, splitting the assets of Fox between Comcast and Disney. And it's just one of those things where, again, I'm looking it up right now. I'm looking it up right now to figure out exactly what the whole thing is with the splitting assets. But essentially, it's a great drama going on. Like, it's stuff that, you know, you can only imagine reading or writing about in a film or a TV show or anything else. And I'm very, very, very curious as to what is going to happen. So apparently they're going to be meeting next week, the Fox board, to discuss the Comcast bid. And I guess it's an offer or something that is offered up to both Fox, or both Comcast and Disney. I'm getting all these studios mixed up. My apologies about that. But basically, what they're doing is industry analysts are saying that they could split the Fox assets, which, again, obviously Disney could get Marvel back and get a few other things and stuff like that. And Comcast could get, you know, half of whatever Disney doesn't take. And again, you can go onto different websites, Google this, and really do the bulk of the, you know, if you're really that interested in this, you could really, you know, kind of dig into this a little bit more, but I am literally just excited to see where this all goes, because this is incredible. Really something else. All right, so speaking of Disney, apparently Ant-Man 2, which is Ant-Man and the Wasp, is projected to make more opening weekend, on its first opening weekend, than the first film did, which is the original Ant-Man. So right now it's looking like Ant-Man and the Wasp is projected at $75 million opening weekend, and the original one made $52.7 million in its opening weekend. Obviously, a dramatic jump. I don't care what anybody says. I remember James Cameron said that whole thing a few weeks or months ago about hero fatigue. And I'm always hearing people talk about superhero fatigue. It's all garbage. I'm sorry. This alone, unless this does what Solo did, which just, I mean, nosedive straight into the center of the earth, this movie is going to be a big hit for Marvel and ultimately for Disney. And it's just going to keep continuing on. I mean, right now, I mean, unless Marvel really just doesn't even stumble, unless they completely face down into a pile of dog crap, they're going to rake people in. And I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with Avengers 4 with the, you know, what happened to, you know, certain people with, you know, all this other stuff. I'm really curious to see where Avengers 4 is going to go and how big that's going to be, because right now, Avengers Infinity War is one of, if not the biggest movie, at least the biggest opening. It hit, I believe, the $1 billion mark in a matter of days. It's already passed, I believe, the $2 billion mark. I mean, this movie is just unstoppable. It's just a freight train headed straight to nowhere's land at this point. It's insane. So yeah, I'm excited about this. Let me know what your thoughts are. You can send me an email. You can message me on the Media Madhouse Facebook page, and just let me know what your kind of thoughts are about Ant-Man and the Wasp, Marvel, and just I'm kind of curious to see what you guys are. If you're excited about it, if you're not excited about it, just let me know. All right, next up, apparently, keeping with the superhero thing, and we're going to do two more superhero things, and then we'll move on to something else, guys. So, apparently, it's been reported that the Flash film is going to be lighthearted and get a bit of a Back to the Future kind of feeling. For me, I'm curious, but I'm going to be straightforward about it. I wasn't 100% a big fan of Justice League. I think they really dropped the ball. I think the debacle with the Warner Brothers executives shows greatly on that whole thing. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I wasn't a big fan of Ezra Miller as the Flash. I thought he was all right. I mean, he said his lines right, and he didn't look at the camera. So, I mean, that's something. And you can disagree with me, that's totally fine. But for me, I just don't feel like he was... And again, it might be because of the situation with editing, it might be because of Joss, it might be because of Zack Snyder, it might be any number of things. But for some reason, Ezra Miller just did not click with me, and he kind of felt like a throwaway character that they didn't know what to do with, so hey, we'll just give him all the stupid things to say, ha 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 ha, he's funny. That's just me, okay? That's just me. If you like that movie, fantastic, good on you, knock yourself silly, I'm totally happy for you. For me, I'm just not that excited about it. All right, next up, sticking with the DCEU, apparently the Matt Reeves headed and he also co-wrote the movie, The Batman, is moving forward with a younger actor. They have not named any names, they have not given out any hints at who it could be. There's been rumors of Jake Gyllenhaal, but I believe that got debunked. And everything else. The curious thing for me is that recently it's been stated that Warner Brothers' relationship with Ben Affleck has been on a bit of a better track than it has in the past because of the regime change. Warner Brothers is a new executive, and apparently the new executive really wants to keep things really, mushy with Affleck, or at least try to mend fences. And he did work for them a couple times and make them money. And, you know, he's an Academy Award winning director. So I totally understand it. But again, it's one of those situations where I'm kind of curious as to what the actual truth is and what is just stuff being sent out just to try to keep people guessing. So this is one that we're going to have to keep an eye on. And obviously, you know, anything happens, I'll let you guys know and we can discuss it. All of these topics, you can hit me up on the Media Madhouse Facebook page and just let me know what your thoughts are. You know, comment on a post, just kind of give me thoughts and stuff like that. And that'll do it for, like, the superhero side of the film news right now. One thing that I do want to say really quick is that if you have a comment, a question, anything like that at all, and you want to let me know you want me to talk about it or anything else, please, 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 email me at mediamadhousepod@gmail.com. Again, mediamadhousepod@gmail.com. And, you know, I might be able to throw some of those questions into the show, and we can start doing that. Okay, so the next thing up, number five, we've got Jeff Goldblum in an interview recently has stated that he is game for a sequel to David Cronenberg's The Fly. This is kind of interesting. I threw it into the mix just to see kind of, you know, what the movie fans think about it. And, you know, I don't really have a whole lot to say about it. I'm kind of curious as to how they're going to make that work. But you never know nowadays. They might come up with some crazy idea to make it work. Be very, very, very interesting. But, yeah, like I said, it would be very interesting to see, at least hear what they're thinking. But, we'll have to keep an eye out on that. Creed 2 is about sons haunted by their fathers, says writer, co-writer, I should say, of Creed 2. So, basically, Creed comes out. I loved it. I thought Creed was a fantastic movie. I thought Michael B. Jordan was great. I think Sylvester Stallone was criminally shunned by the Academy for his performance in that film, because I've never seen Sly act like that, at least in a while. He's had a couple of moments like that, but nothing to that degree. And I'm excited to see where this film goes. Gosh, who's the... Oh, I can't believe I'm forgetting this right now. The actor who played Ivan Drago. I'm sure you guys are yelling at me about who it is. Dolph Lundgren. Thank you. Dolph Lundgren's coming back. Obviously, Sly's coming back. And apparently, it's essentially a pseudo-revenge story between Apollo Creed's son and Dolph Lundgren's son, and they're going to meet in the ring, and it's going to be interesting. I'm very, very curious. Not a whole lot has been said about it except for this, and, you know, I'm curious. I'm excited to see what they're going to do. Apparently, Sly stepped aside from directing. He was planning on, because Ryan Coogler was going to direct it. He got Black Panther. He moved away from it. Sly was going to step in and take over. Sly ended up, you know, doing a lot of work on it, I believe, and then ended up stepping aside for Stephen Coppell Jr. I believe that's how you say his name. Apparently he did the film The Land. I have not seen that movie. I'll have to do my research on it and see, kind of get a feel for the guy's style and what he can do and everything else. But again, I'm very curious about this. Seems very interesting. I'm really excited to see what these guys do with this film, and I'm really excited to see the Adonis Creed and Rocky Balboa characters coming back, and also seeing Ivan Drago back. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really, really excited about that one. Okay, so the last thing we've got today, Ewan McGregor to star in the Shining sequel, Dr. Sleep. Apparently, Ewan McGregor will play Danny Torrance as an adult. This is a direct sequel to The Shining. It doesn't look like this is going to be a sequel to the Stanley Kubrick version, because as we all know, Stephen King hates that version of the movie, which is why he did the miniseries. And you can have your opinions on both. Film is subjective. Film is art to me. In my opinion, film is art. You can go into a museum, look at a piece of art and go, eh, I don't get it. I don't like it. Eh, not my thing. The person right behind you can walk up to it and see all these different things in it, and it's totally cool. That's the thing I love about film, is the fact that you can get different things out of it. Different people can have different experiences. Obviously, I'm a huge Ewan McGregor fan. I love the guy. I think he is a fantastic actor. It's not in my show notes, but I'm really excited about the Christopher Robin movie that he's doing. that looks absolutely phenomenal, and having Jim Cummings coming back and doing Pooh is just going to be amazing, and all this other, I'm a big kid, and that one really hits me, and I love that stuff, but I'm really curious to see what Ewan McGregor is going to bring to Danny Torrance and this sequel and everything else, because back in the 80s and 90s, and early 2000s, for you dream catchers out there, fans out there, Stephen King movies were really kind of funny. The Shining was pretty freaky, but for the most part, I mean, a lot of the stuff is kind of funny. You know, I don't know. It just, maybe it just didn't land with me. I did like The Dark Tower. I thought that was really good. Even though a lot of people didn't like it, I did like the tone. I liked the tone. I liked the people involved and thought that they did really good with what they had. With this one, I'm really curious to see how dark they go with it. And I'm sure Ewan has done a lot of dark roles, but he's not really known for going into those dark places as an actor. And for me, I'm very curious about that. I want to see more of that kind of portrayal out of him, because I want to see how deep this guy can go. And also, I think that would really, you know, be interesting if Disney announces at least one Obi-Wan movie for all you Star Wars fans out there. I think it'd be very interesting to maybe kind of incorporate something like that with the Obi-Wan thing, with showing a bit of a darkness and showing a bit more of a grittiness and stuff like that. So again, it'd be very interesting to see what they're going to do with Dr. Sleep, and see his portrayal and see how dark it gets, or see if it's just goofy. You know, obviously it is not very goofy. And I'm sure It Part Two is going to, again, not be very goofy. But, you know, most of the time, Stephen King's movies are really kind of as far as, you know, scares and everything else. And you might get scared by it. That's totally cool. For me, usually it's a snore fest or it's a laugh fest. It's one or the other. But again, nothing against anybody who likes the Stephen King films and thinks that they're great. Just for me, doesn't, you know, really ring too much. Unfortunately, because I like his books. I think his books are really good, and I think that just the transition to visual media is just not worked so far. But again, that's just my personal opinion. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me on this first episode. It was quick. It was painless. It was really short. So I can't guarantee all of them are going to be this short. I might be able, more stories will probably come up that will probably give, you know, a little more in-depth, more detail about and everything else, but I wanted to get this one out today to you guys. The episodes will be coming out a lot earlier than this one did, but, you know, just technical difficulties and issues and stuff like that. Once again, guys, thank you so much for listening to my babblings, my ramblings, and my idiotic thoughts. I'm so grateful for you guys for coming and watching or listening to this. And I'm excited to see what kind of response this gets. I hope you guys reach out to me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and emails. Again, MediaMadhousePod@gmail.com. Send me questions. Send me comments, go to the Facebook page, send me questions, send me comments, and if we can get enough of them up there, we might throw a few of them into the show, and we'll see what we can do with that. Make sure you like the Facebook page so that you can be up to date on everything that's happening with Media Madhouse, all the interviews that I'm going to be doing. I've got some great, great, great people lined up to do interviews with, as well as new episodes as soon as they go up. Once again, guys, thank you so much for this. Have a good one.